Can I add my word of welcome to that of Philip? Tonight, we're glad to see you in the meeting. If this is your first time, we welcome you warmly. And we trust that already that the Lord has blessed you, and you might come back even again as our meetings continue. Do pray for the meetings as they continue night by night. We value your prayers and those who come along to sing and to testify as well. So we're glad that you're here. Young person, good to see the children, young people as well. And the older people, well, delighted that you're here tonight. And may the Lord continue to bless us. Acts chapter 8, folks. We want to read some verses, please, from this chapter. Acts chapter 8. We thank Billy for coming. Tremendous messages and song. We trust the Lord will bless them to your heart. Verse 26 is where we want to break into the chapter at. Acts chapter 8. And the words of verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him, Jesus. Amen. We end our reading there this evening at verse 35. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing upon the reading of his own precious and infallible word. Let you unite our hearts just in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. You pray the Lord might speak to your soul tonight. Might have a word in season, even to you. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence already this evening. We thank Thee, Lord, for these hymns that we have been singing. Lord, we thank Thee it is comely to praise our God. We praise Thee, Lord, for the messages in song from our brother Billy. O God, Lord, we can say we have been praying and we are praying for souls in this meeting tonight. We ask, Lord, as we come to Thy Word, Thou would close out every distraction. Lord, Thou would solemnize our hearts. Lord, Thou would bring us, as it were, into this desert. Lord, we might hear what this man was to hear from Thy servant Philip. O God, I pray that Thou might fill me with the power of Thy Spirit. Thou hast said, Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. We pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Lord, to touch these lips with that live coal from off the altar. We might preach the preaching that Thou hast bidden us. Lord, we pray Thou would suddenly come to this meeting tonight. We pray, Lord, that Thou would move by Thy Spirit from the back to the very front pew. O God, come and answer prayer, and bless us, we pray. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. God deals with individuals. That is something that we find oft repeated during the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that He must needs go through Samaria. Why? It was in order that He might find the woman by a well. A woman who perceived a stranger who asked her to give him some water, give me to drink. She perceived he was a Jew, and then she perceived that he was a prophet, until we read that the full light had gone on her soul, and she was to go back to her city, and she was to tell the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We could say the same concerning that religious Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, who came to see the Lord by night. And it was the Savior that evening who was to instruct him on the things of eternity, whereby he said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It was the resurrected Savior who was to meet with Peter on that seashore on that morning time. And he was to restore Peter. For Peter had denied the Lord with oaths and with curses. He was cold of heart. And he was to restore Peter to the work and to the ministry of feeding the sheep and of feeding the lambs. I tell you, men and women, young people, God deals with individuals. And it is my prayer, and it's something that unashamedly I declare unto you tonight, that God would meet with you, the individual, in this very meeting, this very hour. You see, what was true of the Lord was also true of the early church. And so as we come into this chapter of Acts chapter 8, we are brought to consider and how Philip, a servant of the Lord, was to be led away from the city of Samaria, where there was a great outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. We would say there was a revival that broke out. There was great joy in that city. There was many that heard him, and they were to believe. But he was called away from Samaria, and he was brought to a desert place in order to meet with just one individual. And you know, the casual reader will maybe read this passage, and they will wonder why that God would lead Philip away from where obviously there was a great work been done, so as to meet just with one man, one individual. But you know, men and women, God's ways are perfect, and they're past finding out. And while the commission of the early church was that they would be witnesses unto Christ in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, they were also to have a witness for Christ in the uttermost part of the earth. And that is a clue. That gives us a clue as to why Philip, walking over the desert sands toward a group of chariots, was led of the Spirit to be guided to one particular chariot concerning the man who was sitting in it. As you see there in verse 29, I believe there was many chariots. Because the Spirit saith, the Spirit is not an influence, the Spirit is not some liquid, the Spirit is a third person of the Blessed Trinity, and the Spirit saith unto Philip that he was to go and join himself to this chariot, this particular one. God deals with individuals, you see. And there was one individual in that chariot that must be counseled in the things of God. You want to know what sort of counseling that he was to receive? I draw your attention particularly, although I'll be looking at other verses, but particularly to the words of verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's the counsel this man received from the preacher. I want you to consider, first of all, tonight, the person. There's one word in my text, and it says him. He preached unto him. I believe it needful that we would glean something more about this man, about this him. We could spend some time speaking about his position in life. He was a man of authority. He was a man who worked and who served under Candace the Queen. Indeed, he held the position of trust, for he was her treasurer.
He was a man who was counted to be trustworthy. I could speak tonight to you of his color. For I can only suggest to you that here was a black man. And I say that, and not because I'm prejudiced, not because I'm racist, as you hear much about on the news and in the sporting venues of today, but I say that because the writer gives us the added detail that he was from Ethiopia. And men and women, young people, Ethiopia in that time was considered to be the edge of the world. Didn't I say to you that you have a clue in Acts 1 and verse 8 as to why Philip was sent to this one individual? He came from the uttermost part. He came from a country that was considered to be on the very edge of the known world. And I can only assume that that was his birthplace as well as being the place of his allegiance. As Philip climbs up into that chariot, he's sitting beside a black man. That's not one with a black collar on, by the way. He's black in his skin. And we would ask, and we would say, like Jeremiah of old, can the Ethiopian change his skin? No! He cannot. But while his outward color cannot be changed, his character can be changed. That's what that man needed that day. And that's what you need in this meeting tonight. If you're not saved, you need to change from the inside out. You need your character to be changed. If you're still without Christ, without hope in this world, or that which is to come. Consider with me this man who has become known and well known as the Ethiopian eunuch, was sincere. And we see that when we understand the purpose of his journey and where he was coming from. You glance your eye across to verse 27. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, listen, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And those closing words reveals to us the purpose of his journey. He was to go up to Jerusalem in order to worship. It must have been that he had gone to Jerusalem, the holy city at this time, for to be present at one of the Jewish feasts. And it was in his return journey that this narrative has its setting. That informs me that this man had some sort of religion about him. That informs me that he wasn't an atheist, so-called. That informs me that here we are not looking at a skeptic. We are looking at a man who was sincere in his worship. He made that great journey to be there. And it could be that I am preaching to a dear loved one tonight, and that could describe exactly you as well. You're a sincere person. Not a man or woman could point the finger at you about your sincerity. You're sincere. You're found in your place of worship. You believe tonight there is a God in heaven. You believe tonight that God has sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross. You believe these things and you believe them sincerely. But yet, like this man, you still need a preacher to instruct you to the way of salvation. You see, men and women, young person, sincerity never saved one soul. We have people walking our streets tonight and through the daytime, and they've nice suits on, and they carry a bag with them, and they'll stand on your doorstep, and they'll seek to win proselytes for their particular dogmas. They will seek to win disciples for themselves. But you know, they're sincere. But sincerely wrong, because they bring another gospel than that which is revealed to us in the Scriptures of truth. They call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. They are Jehovah false witnesses. They're not God's witnesses at all. They call themselves Mormons. And so we could go on speaking about the cults. They are sincere, but they're wrong. Not saved. And you might be sincere tonight, but you're not saved. Just like this man. Let me show you something else about him. He was yet searching. On his way back home, he's been to a religious festival, if you like. He's been to a feast. He's been to the holy city. But on the way home, he is using his time wisely. For what he has in front of him is opened a scroll of the Scriptures.
We are instructed that he was engaging in reading it aloud, verse 30. For when Philip came near that chariot, he could hear him read it. And the place where he was reading, we are told as well, it was from the prophecy of Isaiah, in particular, chapter 53. It's a good thing to read the book. Young person, never be ashamed to take the Bible with you on your train journey or your bus and open the Word. I say the same to the older man or woman as well. Here's a man, and on his journey, he's reading the book. He hasn't the privilege that we have of having the complete canon tonight. He just has the Old Testament, and he's found in Isaiah 53. And that causes us to consider that he was orthodox. He was orthodox. He was reading the Word of God. He was reading the Scriptures. The Word which is inerrant. The Word which is infallible. The Word of God which is the sole rule of faith and practice. He wasn't reading some false word. He was reading God's Word. He was orthodox. But he still wasn't saved. Here's a man who had God's Word before him. And he was searching it. And because as Philip approaches, he asks him a wise but very telling question. Understandest thou what thou readest? The words of verse 34 further indicate to us the sort of searching that he was engaged in. He read these words, but yet without understanding. And he's saying to Philip, is he speaking about himself? Or could it be that he's speaking about some other man? You ask me, understandest thou the words that thou readest? How can I? Except some man should guide me. Men and women, does not confirm to us Romans 3, where it says there's none that understandeth. Natural man of himself does not understand the things that are eternal and the things that are spiritual. I read 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, it says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's one reason, by the way, one reason why we don't use the excuse that is heard today by many people who use the modern versions of the Scriptures. You know what they say? They say, oh, it's up-to-date language and we can understand it easier. That's the greatest load of nonsense you ever heard. What they don't seem to appreciate, what they don't seem to mind, is that because they are reading the modern versions, the very translation that it has been taken from, it means that words have been taken out and it means that words have been put in by the authors. So there's an adding and there's a taking away from the Word. And the excuse is, there are nice, easier words, there are language, we can easier understand it. Men and women, listen, this book is a spiritual book. The natural man cannot understand it. And what we need is the help of the divine author of this book. It's not a new person that people need. It's a new heart in regeneration. That's what's needed. Let me ask you, dear soul, tonight. Have you got to the place where this Ethiopian had got to? Searching the Word of God. Of knowing that there was something missing in his heart and something missing in his life, and that you must find it if you are to have peace and you are to have satisfaction in this world and that which is to come. Have you got there yet? For here's a black man and he's got there. He's sincere and he's searching, but listen, understand, he's a person that is yet a sinner. see him return from Jerusalem in that religious feast. You know, I can't help but think and reminded of Martin Luther in his unsaved days. 31st of October is Reformation Day. He nailed the theses to the Wittenberg church door, 1517. Sunday passed, Reformation Sunday. You know, before Luther was saved, Luther went to Rome. And Luther was to journey to that place, and he was to go to the place known as Pilate's Staircase. Some of you have been there. Prayed in every step in his quest to release his grandfather from purgatory. But when he reached the top step, the doubts flooded into his mind whether or not the whole exercise was worthless. That visit to Rome was meant to be a landmark in his life. And by the time he came away from it, he did so empty. And he was prepared to say, if there is hell, Rome is built over it. That's how much a disappointment it was to him. Luther was to come to understand, of course, that the just shall live by faith, not by some religious act. That's the message that I proclaim to you tonight. I don't care if you're a Protestant or a Roman Catholic or nothing. The message is the same to your heart. The just shall live by faith. And with this Ethiopian, we see him coming away from Jerusalem empty. He had been there to worship. But in all his worship, he did not find that which would satisfy. He didn't find Christ among dead ceremony and among dead ritual. Dear listener tonight, Christ is not to be found among dead works. He's not to be found in religion. He's not to be found in ritual or ceremony. And here's a man, he's yet a sinner. And I wonder, does that sum you up tonight? Maybe sincere. Maybe even to the point where you're searching in your heart for that which will satisfy, for yet you are a sinner. You're a sinner on the road to a Christless eternity. You're a man or a woman tonight, or a child who's no peace with God. Aye, and truth be told, you're still under the power of your master, the devil. And we read that the devil is one who blindeth the minds of them that believe not. Lest the glorious light of the gospel, who is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. The devil doesn't want you to hear the gospel. He doesn't want the gospel to reside in your heart. He doesn't want you to see Christ. That is why he's against you. That is why he will seek to take away the good seed of the word immediately after it's preached. He's likened to the birds of the air. But oh dear soul, if you recognize yourself like this Ethiopian that we have seen and considered already tonight, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. I fear more for a man or a woman who doesn't recognize that they're a sinner. I fear more for a man or a woman who thinks that they're self-righteous and they go to their church and they pay into their church and they have this, that, and the other and they do good. Christ didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners. Praise his name. Let me show you something else. We've looked at the person. And I want you to see the preaching. Philip was a man who was Spirit-filled. He was sent by the Holy Spirit to seek out this man in this chariot and to speak to him. And that is confirmed to us when we read the words of our text. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Sometimes, you know, messages are conveyed in full in the Word of God. Other times we are brought just to consider a message that is condensed into a few sentences. But in this instance, One word. One word expresses the doctrine that Philip preached that day. Not one word. Jesus. Is that? Because we're given the very chapter and the verses that this Ethiopian was reading, we can then ascertain something more of the preaching that was pressed upon his heart and of what this man was to hear of Jesus. I remind you that Christ is to be found in every page of the Scriptures. Not just in the New Testament. We have nice Bibles these days. Better watch myself here because Ian's here tonight. He sells them. We have nice Bibles these days with red print. The red print indicates what the Savior said. That's not actually factually correct. The whole book should be read. For the whole book is of Christ. Men and women, when you open the book, look for the Savior wherever you're reading. And in this instance, it was Isaiah 53, and particularly the words of verse 7 and 8. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And we have it there, condensed as it were, and of course brought over into the Greek in verse 32 and verse 33. This is what the man was reading. And the preaching he heard that day was of the person of Christ. Isaiah 53 is unmistakably speaking about one man. For it brings us to consider his work of salvation that was to be accomplished at Calvary. And even though Isaiah was living 450 years before the very birth of Christ, yet with prophetic accuracy, he speaks and he paints the picture of Calvary. That man of Calvary. His name was Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. This Ethiopian was to hear of one Savior, just as you are hearing of one Savior tonight. For there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's one Savior of the lost mankind, and his name is Jesus. It's not some figure of Philip's imagination that he's speaking about here. But you'll see it. It says that he began at the same Scripture. From the very place where this man was reading, he was told of the Savior that the Scriptures reveal to us from Genesis right through to the book of the Revelation. And dear loved one, I would speak to you of none other. I would point you to no other tonight other than Jesus. I don't point you to the Free Presbyterian Church. I don't point you to any church. I don't point you to this preacher. I point you to Christ. And this man was to hear of the person of Christ. That's what he heard preached. Consider also that the preaching was no doubt of the perfection of Christ. Even in the words of verse 32 of our chapter. That which is taken from Isaiah 53, the Lamb is spoken of. See that? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter like a lamb, dumb before her shearer. That causes us to think of the Old Testament sacrifices that were to be brought and were to be offered on behalf of and for the sins of the people. And you know, there was something that was vital when those lambs had to be brought and had to be presented to the high priest. There was something vital that had to be a characteristic of the lamb. That lamb had to be without blemish. They couldn't take a sick lamb. They couldn't take an old lamb that had broken its leg. They had to bring a lamb that was without blemish. I even remind you of Exodus 12 and verse 5 of the night of the Passover. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A meal of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. That lamb that was chosen for the home had to be spotless, without blemish. And when the eunuch hears Philip preach of Jesus, men and women, he is brought to consider a lamb who is without spot and was without blemish. He heard the preaching of God's Lamb. He was pointed to consider God's Lamb, God's chosen Lamb, the one who did no sin, the one in whom no guile was found in his mouth, the one in whom was God manifest in the flesh, could not sin. Dear soul, what the Ethiopian was brought to see was that the Savior that was being presented to him was one who had no sin himself, and therefore he was able to redeem a lost sinner like him. He wasn't like the Old Testament priests, who first had to offer a sacrifice for their own sins, for he had none. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Dear sinner, that means everything tonight. Because I present before you, I uplift before you a perfect Savior. Only a perfect Savior could save. Only a perfect Savior could satisfy God's holy law. Only a perfect Savior could satisfy divine justice. Reject Christ tonight and you miss heaven and you go to hell. For there is no other who can save guilty, hell-deserving sinners other than a perfect Savior, other than Christ. Do you know him? Have you got a perfect Savior tonight? The preaching was of the person of Christ. It was of the perfection of Christ. And I am assured, certainly, that Philip would have preached the passion of Christ to this Ethiopian. You see, these verses take us to consider the culmination of the Savior's work on the cross of Calvary. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Does that not speak of that horrendous and that excruciating death that Christ set his face toward? Even the death of the cross. And there he would go. And there he will be lifted up between heaven and earth in that place of no standing. In that most public place where those who passed by wagged their heads at him and reviled him. Where the crowd cried unto him, if he be Christ, he will come down from the cross and save thyself. There he would die as a sinner's substitute. Remember what I said, he was a perfect Savior. Wasn't dying for any crimes of his own. He had none. But there he died as a sinner's substitute. Your substitute, mine. There he who knew no sin, yet became sin for us. Can't take that in. Philip preached Christ to this man. He preached the passion of Christ. The words that were read by the Ethiopians speak of his silence. Verse 32, so opened he not his mouth. What's that mean?
Maybe I'm preaching to those and you're familiar with the book. And I thank God for that. I thank God if you're a man or a woman in the Bible. You know, so often we can read the verses and we can go over them very quickly and we never think what it means. What's that mean? He opened not his mouth. We know that he spoke to the soldiers in the garden. When he said, I am he, they had to fall backwards. For none could stand before the divine name, the great I am. We know that he spoke to Pilate. There was times he answered him nothing, but there was other times that he spoke to Pilate. And yet there's a silence spoken about here, so opened he not his mouth. We know that he spoke on the cross. They are known as the seven sayings of Christ. So he wasn't silent in that sense. Dear people, what these words mean is that he was willing to die. He did not contest the will and the plan of God the Father. He was in perfect agreement to it. For dear sinner, no man was to take his life from him. He had the power to lay down his life. And he had the power to take it up again. And he did that he might save his people. Do you get that? He did it all that he might save his people. Tell me. Does it mean anything to you tonight? Does the preaching of Christ mean anything to you? His person, his perfection, his passion? What think ye of Christ? Doesn't matter what you think of me. Doesn't matter what you think of the church that I am a minister in. I'm not asking you those things. What think ye of Christ? There's one final thought. I want you to see the power. You see, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And it was a power that was wrought in the heart of this darkened man. God, by his grace, enabled this man to have his eyes opened and to see Christ. And he enabled this man to have his heart opened to embrace Christ as Savior. This Ethiopian eunuch was convinced of Christ. He is convinced that he was a sinner in need of God's salvation. He was convinced that empty religion did not satisfy. It did not fill the void that was still in his heart. He was convinced that there was one whom he needed to find. And there, in that chariot, in the middle of the desert, it was there that Christ was to find that sheep that was lost. I wonder, have you got to that place yet? Are you convinced, man or woman, as God's Spirit strives with you and convicts you of your sin, of your need of a Savior? Without Christ, you go on the way you're going, you will die as you live, a sinner lost, and that for all eternity. And oh, that God would come suddenly into this barn, and that would be the place where he'd meet with you. He would find the sheep that was lost. You see, that God's power enabled him to make a confession. That confession was heard when Philip counseled him over his quest to be baptized. There was water nearby, verse 36, as you'll see it there. He says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And dear soul, you'll notice something, how Philip spent time with this man. Some boys, you know, don't believe that the preacher should counsel anyone. Well, here's a scriptural example of a preacher counseling another sinner. And he takes time to speak to him. He's not like some today who are just looking for professions where they say, do you want to be saved? Yes. Do you want to be saved now? Yes. Well, let's pray. Let me just say something. I'm not looking for false professions. I'm praying against that. For our comfort and our churches are full of them.
I'm not looking for someone who is going to make a false profession. I'm not interested in easy believism tonight, in mere professions that prove to be nothing. And they only make that man or that woman or that young person twice as hard to reach for Christ. That's what they do. That's exactly what false professions do. This man spends time. And he's not afraid, by the way, either when he hears his confession, to accept it. Philip desired, you see, to know if the work of God's grace had been done in his heart. That's why he says in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And in response, the confession of the Ethiopian is one of confessing Christ as the Son of God from his heart. And thus in Romans 10 and verse 10 remind us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Men and women, salvation is a work of the heart. And God must do that work in your heart if you are to be saved. If God doesn't do that work in your heart, you're damned. I wonder, will you call upon Him for mercy tonight as God, the Spirit of God, strives with you and convicts you? Will you believe with all your heart? Will you be saved tonight? Will you seek the Lord to be saved tonight? You see the power of God in evidence here in the rejoicing in Christ that this man had. We didn't read the verse. I'll read it now, verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. As suddenly as Philip appeared, he was taken away by the Spirit to another place. Supernatural. That was something like the gifts of healing and like the gifts of speaking in tongues. It doesn't happen today. I'm not going to be whisked away to some other place suddenly before you. I might drop behind the pulpit. I'll be in glory, but I'll not be whisked away. Because those gifts are done away with. Why? Because we have the full revelation of God. God speaks through His Son in the latter days. The full revelation. But here's the point that I make. Even though Philip was taken away suddenly, this was the very man that pointed the Ethiopian to Christ. This was the very man who spoke Christ to his soul. Yet this Ethiopian wasn't taken up with the man. He went in his way of rejoicing in Christ. He had heard of the Savior. He was now his Savior. He was now that friend that sticketh closer than any brother to him. Men and women, that is the change that the power of God can wrought in your soul tonight. You can go on your way rejoicing in sins forgiven and in Christ your lovely Savior. I wonder, will you see Him? You see, this is the last scene of this man in the record of God's book. Last thing you read about the Ethiopian eunuch is he went on his way rejoicing. And one day he entered into glory. What about you? Will that be said of you tonight as you leave this barn? Will that be said of you through life? There's a man or a woman who's rejoicing. Could be you tonight if you'll come. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.
I believe God has been speaking. The meeting is over. I just say, if I've said other nights that we're here, Brother Phillips here, Noel's here, I'm here, gladly, gladly open the book to you. Point you to the Savior if you're not saved. Men and women, we've sought to preach Christ to you. Whom to know is life eternal. Will you come tonight? Preacher, I'm coming. I'm getting this matter settled now. Lord, I'm coming to Thee. Will you seek the Lord? Maybe there's one and you have to search your heart. You'll have to search your heart to make sure you haven't made a false profession. That you really have Christ. That you really have God's salvation. And there is a change. You make sure tonight. Come to the Savior. Father, we thank Thee for the stillness in our meeting. We thank the Lord for this passage, this verse. Philip began, opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. Lord, we've sought in the stuttering words of a man, we've sought to uplift the Lord. Now it said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Lord, I pray in the closing seconds that Thou wouldst draw that soul unto the Savior. Except the Father draw them, they cannot come. Lord, I pray in love, but I pray that Thou would in mercy take a dealing with an individual tonight. Lord, in this very hall, that lost sheep will be found. Lord, answer prayer. Speak on when the preacher's voice is said. Part us with Thy blessing and in Thy fear. For we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.